What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mac Effect. Your host here, Mike. Like always, thanking you guys for tuning in, showing your love, showing your continuous support to the podcast. As like I always share with you guys, open and very vulnerable, transparent with you guys. I'm always looking for that next interview, that next information, that next story that I think can be of a blessing for you guys. And I think I have something really special cooking right now for you guys. So I hope you guys tune in, pay close attention, because if you're listening very closely, you're going to hear some special nuggets that the Lord wants to show with you guys. So see you guys in a bit. Super humble moment for me, because this guy has no idea, but when I would see him preach, I'm like, oh my goodness, like that's Mike. And I just saw him as like something really amazing. But the Lord quickly shows you like, hey, you don't idolize man, you idolize me. And I, of course I idolize, but I just, you have an aura, Mike, that just blesses me. So it's an honor to have you, Mr. Mike
Burrow.
Thanks,
man. It's great to be with you, man.
Yeah, thanks.
And now you know it's not so amazing. I'm just a dude. No, so,
and
you.
And that's what I love. That's what I love, that, you know, you're very captivating when it comes to the way that you preach. I love the word. You bring it like in spiritually, like in a course where it's like, you're eating something spiritually good, but you're not just giving us the baby food. You're giving us the hard stuff too, that, you know, the Bible preaches, yeah, we got to love. Yes, we have to be there for one another. But then you also hit us in the side where that thorn is there that says, but are you denying your flesh? Are you serving God with all your might, with a crazy faith, with a radical faith that he deserves, you know, because this flesh, man, it's tough sometimes.
It's a daily battle, man.
Yeah,
for all of us, right?
So, Mike, before we get into like, you know, what you're currently doing and you know, the amazing pastor that the Lord has brought you to become, I kind of just want a little bit more of the history of Mike. So, where does Mike come from? Where does he originate from?
Yeah, so I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky.
Nice.
And which is the horse capital of the world. And I mean, thoroughbred horses everywhere, white and black plank fences everywhere. It's a really beautiful part of our country.
It's nice and green.
Yeah, really nice and green. I grew up right there. In fact, I live there now.
Oh, wow.
We moved back there. We lived in Southern California for the past 8 years.
Okay.
Moved back to take care of her mother-in-law, who recently just went to heaven, had Alzheimer's.
Sorry to hear that.
We took care of her for 3 years, and we're grateful for her, man.
Yeah.
It was a joy taking care of her. She was just an awesome lady.
Wow.
And went to be with Jesus, so I'm really happy for her. But we're trying to figure out to become a new normal now, you know, after having done that for 3 years, my wife
absolutely.
Especially. But I grew up in Lexington. Met my wife there. We started dating in high school. Actually, we were in the same church nursery together and didn't know it.
Wow.
And so we have a picture on the wall of our house of the two of us in like a first grade Sunday school class.
Wow.
There's me, and then there's her, and then a girl in between us. And I've told that girl, you try to come in between us.
I was going to say, first graders, as your wife said, like, why was she there?
That's right. So we've known each other a long time. I play basketball with her brothers. I'm a basketball junkie, always will be.
I love it.
I play ball with her brothers. And got in high school and went, dang, you got a sister. She's awesome. So I started pursuing this girl and ended up dating. And I followed her to college. Didn't know what I wanted to do.
Wow.
It was a Christian university. I thought, well, you know, if I want to go back to the University of Kentucky where I live and be a teacher, coach, whatever, that way I can at least I'll get some foundational Christian principles in my life to take back to the university. And I thought, it's a small school, too. I could play basketball and chase my girlfriend around, see what's going to happen in the future. While I was there, God just got a hold of me. And
I
started I started preaching when I was 18 years old, going out on weekends.
I love it.
Talking to students and stuff. Yeah. And I wasn't far removed from being a student myself.
Exactly.
Because I'm talking to middle school kids. Yeah. And, I mean, I just knew that this is what God wanted me to do with my life. So I've been doing it a long time.
Wow.
And now it's to the point in my life where I have to say it. I don't know if that makes any sense. When I'm 18, when I'm 20 years old, when I'm 30 years old preaching, I'm thinking, okay, I got to survive another weekend. I got to make sure this is good. I got to say something profound here. And now it's like it's so much in me that I have to say it.
Yeah.
I want people to know it.
Wow.
Like people ask me, when are you going to retire, man? I go, retire what? I'm just starting to figure this stuff out. You know, I've been living it so long that it just kind of comes out of me. So
I love it.
That's my background there.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Now, a quick question that spiritually pops into my heart. 18 years old, right? Like the world tells us, like, you're 18. Live it up.
Yeah, right.
Do you regret it?
Not a bit, man. I tell people all the time, you know, that Jesus invites us on. He talks about two roads. He says there's the broad road that leads to destruction. There's a narrow path that leads to life. And I spent enough time on the broad road where just going with the flow, living your own truth, being your own God, going down that. And it does lead to destruction when you just go with the flow with everybody else. But if you turn your life around and head up the narrow path, you're going upstream toward the source of life. And I'm just grateful that when I was 18, it's kind of when my life turned and I started going upstream. And that was best decision ever made in my life.
Love it. I love it. I received the Lord in my heart when I was 19. It was through a heartbreak. Yeah. It was in a Hispanic church. The preaching, if you ask me, Mike, I don't remember it. I don't remember any of the service. It was actually, it's funny, but it was a Latin, like a group that was actually like ministering. It was kind of like worldly music, but they converted the words into Christian music.
Right.
So it was something totally that would have never ministered my heart, like nothing.
Yeah.
But at the very end of the service, I felt something inside. They did the altar call. And again, the group was like something that I'm like, this is horrible. Like this, at least it wasn't my taste, right? My cup of tea. But I felt something tugging in me saying, if you believe in me, raise your hand and go to the front. And I went to the front and I was 19, right? So I hadn't lived life much, but I would hang out with friends. I would hang out with, parties here, events there. Everything felt off.
Yeah.
And when I raised my hand and I walked up, I felt something deep inside of me. Until today, it resonates. Welcome home.
Yeah, yeah.
When I felt that, I finally felt like in a place where I belong, a place where this is me. I don't have to pretend to be something I'm not. So right now that you're saying that, it's just, it blesses me because, once again, this is why, guys, I'm bringing him, because very raw, very transparent, you know, he didn't even blink. He didn't hesitate. Did you regret it? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I love that. And
well, it's not that I don't live with regret. I mean,
no, of course.
Prior to there,
had a
few regrets in my life.
Yeah,
but you know, it goes back. You said 19. I had a similar experience when I was 17 years old. I was at a camp and went on this retreat. Basically, I went there to pursue that girl.
Yeah,
and I go on this retreat with a bunch of people. What I didn't realize was God was pursuing me the entire week as I was pursuing this girl.
Amen.
And sometimes you just have to get still enough, like you did that night, and he speaks to you. I remember sitting by a campfire by myself. Everybody else had gone back to cabins and stuff. I'm sitting up there by myself. And up to that point in my life, I went to church, but I didn't know God. Mm. It was a big difference.
Yeah.
For me at that point.
You've heard of him.
I heard of him. I didn't know him. I didn't. So for me, it's like God was a spoke on the wheel of my life. I had sports. I had school. I had friends. I had work. I had God. I didn't know that God wanted to be the hub of my life, that everything in my life needed to revolve around a real relationship
with
him.
That's right.
So I'm sitting out by this campfire, and I put my hands up in the air. Never done that in my life. I mean, church I went to, if you did that, they're going, you got a question? Why you got your hand up? You know, we didn't do that back then. But just instinctively, as a broken 17-year-old guy, I said, God, I'm tired of faking it. I'm tired of walking with one foot in the light, one foot in the darkness. it's exhausting living two lives.
I love it.
I just want to live one life. And that was the night that I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and started following him, and hasn't been perfect. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times it was three steps forward, two steps back, but I was one step ahead of where I used to be.
That's right.
And just kept getting up every day, just trying to surrender my life to him every day and say, what do you want? What do you have for me today?
I love it.
And it's been a lifelong process of listening to him lead me throughout the day.
And thank you for sharing. I can see how emotionally it's still like remembering.
Oh.
It still hits you because it's just that day of that romantic love, but not like in a lustful way, but in a love that the Lord just a beautiful warmth, a beautiful welcoming. I can feel it as you're sharing it. And these are the stories that I want to transmit through the viewership, through the listeners. I hope if you guys are paying attention that the Holy Spirit could transmit through these vocals, through these wavelengths, but if it's visual that you're watching it, I just pray because I have this podcast, Mike, I have the ability to be a clickbait podcast. I definitely have a lot of juicy stories where I can just rack it up when it comes to the views and clicks and all these things. But the Lord has told me something very deep in my heart, and he said, I understand that your podcast is going to go against the current, but we have a message that we need to deliver, and I'm going to use you. And I'm like, let's do it, God. So right now when I heard you say that, thank you. Thank you so much. So you were sharing, you know, you met your wife. You know, you guys saw that picture when you guys were young.
Right, right.
How old were you when you finally, you know, did the move and said, I got on my knee and I asked her for marriage?
Yeah, well, we were going to the same college, and we've been dating since we were juniors in high school. So it was our junior year of college, and I was on my way to a softball tournament. And I put an engagement ring in my softball glove. This is really romantic. And sat down under this apple tree. And we were sitting before class. And I said, hey, I just wondered if you would marry me. And I opened my glove and I had the ring in there. And she's like, going, what? And so she said yes. And we sat through the class together. And then I went and played in the softball tournament.
Wow.
But that's how that got started. Then we spent a year in between our that was the end of our junior year in college. Then we got married the next summer, and then our senior year, we were in married student housing, and we graduated together in the same class, which was my study habits went way up, and my grade point went way up because I wasn't living in the dorm anymore, and that was and she's just the love of my life. We've been together for so long, been married, 48 years.
Wow.
48 years, man.
Wow.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm 38. So how's that possible? But it's been awesome.
I mean, my old pastor in the church that I got saved, the pastor would always preach, and then the wife. I think they had like their 15-year wedding anniversary, and the pastor, she comes up, and they're like, "Any words you want to say?" The pastor reached out to his wife, and the wife said, "Oh, honey, being married to you has felt like 2 minutes." And everyone's like, oh, and she's like, underwater.
That's awesome, man.
But ultimately, they were celebrating, you know, 15 years of marriage or so, you know, 48.
Yeah.
Mike, what's the secret?
Oh, man, you just got to stay humble in your relationship.
The world says happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
is that true?
Yeah, I think it is, but also... When you try to outserve each other and you honor each other above yourself and you put yourself, you know, beneath the other person, that's true in all relationships. The Bible tells us to honor each other above ourselves. And the word honor literally means to attach a high price tag. Mm. So if I attach a high price tag to my wife, I want to honor her. I want to have this deep respect for her. I want to lift her up, encourage her. And she wants to do the same with me. So there's not this battle of, well, who's leading this thing?
That's right.
You know, I'm called by God to be a servant leader in that relationship. And she's called also to serve and honor me. So that mutual submission, that mutual respect, that mutual honoring each other, that's been a real key. The other thing is, I kind of draw this for young couples sometimes, draw a triangle with God at the top, mm-hmm. then a husband and a wife at the bottom. And a lot of times a husband and wife try to grow closer together. But they figure out there's something missing, just something missing in our life. And it's usually, not always, but usually the wife that figures it out first. I think it's God. And so she starts growing closer to God, and he's going, hey, what the heck happened? Where's my wife? Then he sees the changes happen in her life. He goes, well, you know what? This must be real. As he starts growing closer to God and she starts growing closer to God, guess what happens?
I love it.
They grow closer together. That's and when the three of you get together at the top, man, that's a sweet, sweet relationship. Right. I think that's what the Bible means when it talks about a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Because, man, you got your life and your marriage relationship wound around the one relationship where you learn how to love, and that's relationship with God.
I love it. And I agree with you. As I'm hearing you, Mike, so if you guys don't know this, again, how I did the intro in the sense of, like, I saw Mike preaching and I'm like, my goodness, like, you know, but then God tells me, like, no, we do not worship men.
Yes, exactly.
I had actually met him one previous time. We had breakfast at a Panera Bread. That was the first time I ever met him. So it's not like I know a lot of these details that you're sharing. But as I hear you right now saying this about marriage, I did share with you, I'm going through a divorce.
Right.
So for me, it was like...
And I've been praying for you, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you so
much. Not every day, but almost every day.
Thank you. Thank you. And honestly, God has been doing a lot of work in me and a lot of healing.
Good.
I hear you, 48 years. And like my emotions go like... Right. Oh, man, I'm never going to hit 48 years. And it makes me a little sad because that was my goal. Like, that's something that I always wanted. But then God just quickly shifts my mindset, and he just tells me, like, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Like, I understand that that's a disappointment. That's a sadness. That's a whatever happened, happened. But nevertheless, it's okay. I'm still God. I'm still going to move.
Right.
So, guys, whether 48 years, whether 12 years, whether however long, there's always one person we got to turn to, and that is the Lord. Because trust me, to me, shattering that goal, that dream, was like a complete, like, this wasn't the mic you saw when it first happened. Like, this mic didn't even want to get out of bed. But nevertheless, I pray that your marriage continues to be blessed. I pray that it continues to be an example to this world, because we shun away from long-term commitment that, Mike.
Yeah.
And obviously, because we're in a world where everyone wants instant, fast, quick.
Right.
And things like that take time.
Well, one of the things you're discovering now, Mike, which is so, so great. Scripture says, I think it was Solomon who wrote it in Proverbs. He said, what a man, what a woman desires is an unfailing love. And there's only one place to get that.
Amen.
I mean, we can be in a love relationship, but you know, I know, it's not unfailing. I mean, we try our best, but it's not an unfailing love. Only one place to get unfailing love. And so a lot of times in a relationship, we'll put unfair expectations on the other person to give us that unfailing love, which they're not capable of. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when you expect something, like, let me go back to an old movie. You remember the old movie? I was flipping channels the other night. TNT comes on. Jerry Maguire. Remember the movie? It's Tom Cruise, Jerry Maguire, sports agent.
Okay, yes.
Kind of the main, there was a main line from that movie was, show me the money. And that was the main line. There was a couple other ones. One was, you had me at hello. And there's another one at the very end where he looks at his wife, he put through a lot of pain, and he says, you complete me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, no, she doesn't.
Yeah.
If you expect somebody else to complete you, man, you're headed for a long uphill struggle.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Debbie and I have been married 48 years, and she's my best friend. She's my soulmate. I'd rather be with her than anybody else. But she does not complete me, and I don't complete her. Jesus Christ completes both of us, and we bring a more complete person to their relationship, because there's only one place to get unfailing love, and that's in a relationship with God. So when you personally, individually, you know, experience an unfailing love, you just bring a more complete person to your relationship.
Amen. Amen. And that tugs at me, because I'm very honest. I'm very transparent. I put that expectation on my ex.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of viewers and listeners that are listening, and they're like, I'm doing that. And I know, guys, it doesn't mean your marriage should be over. It just means you have to start shifting a focus into God and putting those expectations on him, not on your partner, because that, I mean, we're fallen, so we're going to fail regardless. And the only one that's never going to fail, and honestly, the only one that has always been in my life, and I can see it since I was a kid, healing childhood traumas that I have been dealing with and going through, there's like times where I close my eyes, Mike, and God shows me like, I was there.
Yeah.
I was in that closet when you were crying.
Yeah, that's pretty cool when he shows us.
I was there when you felt your dad wasn't there. And I'm just like, oh, like I start journaling. I'm just crying. And I share this with you guys because that's all part of the healing journey, the healing journey. So, Mike, okay. Thank you for all these great things that you're sharing with me. I kind of want to dig a little bit more on the fun side of Mike. So you're married 48 years.
Yep.
A lot of people say they lose themselves in the marriage. What have you done to be able to keep Mike and Mike's identity, who he is, aside from just a married husband?
Yeah. So you know, of course I have a job and I pour myself into that. But I don't see it as a job. I see it as a calling on my life. So that's what I do. And Debbie's been right there with me the entire way. But we have friends together. We have couples that we hang out with and people that maybe are single also that we hang out with. But we also have separate friends. You know, I got a friend group. She's got a friend group. We got people. We got small groups that we're both in separately, which is with common interest and fun stuff. And, you know, I mean, I told you, I was a hoops junkie for a long time. I wish I could still do it, man. I miss it. But I'm afraid I'm going to blow out an Achilles or something now at my age. It's like, this ain't worth it anymore. I remember last time I was playing in a league, and all the guys on my team were in their 20s.
Yeah.
And I was just stealing minutes for them. I'd go in, play 5 minutes, come back out. But I still loved it so much. I'm back on defense by myself because I didn't make it down the floor for offense. And there's a 3-on-1 fast break. And my basketball instincts kick in.
Yeah.
And the guy's got the ball in the middle. He's looking to pass, you know, kick it off the pass. I fake like I'm going to go for the pass. And the guy hangs on to it and goes to the rim, runs right over me. And the ref calls a charge. And I hit the ground hard. And it's our ball. I get up and I look at the ref, go, if I ever do that again, throw me out of this league. How am I going to go home and tell my wife I'm 60 years old taking a charge in a rec league game? This is stupid. So I thought, you know what? I need to hang it up. I shoot around with my grandkids and stuff now. I still can smoke them, but it's a lot of fun. I love that. You know, I love basketball. I love all sports. I played them all.
What's your team? Now I'm curious.
Well, my team?
Yeah.
Well, I'm a University of Kentucky Wildcat guy because I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky. A big basketball fan that way. Football, we're not so great. But it's fun. It's still fun living in a college town.
But in the NBA, what's your team?
NBA, my team. Well, you know, honestly, I've been a Lakers fan.
Okay.
I have been. This is crazy too. I've been a Celtics fan
before. I was
a Lakers fan, which that's is a really yeah. That's yeah, like that's wow, very you know. But honestly, because Kentucky basketball has so many guys in the NBA, it's like 37 guys in NBA. I just kind of follow them.
Got it.
You know, that makes sense. I'll check in and see how Anthony Davis is doing. I'll check over and see how Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is doing. And I'll check over and see how Reed Shepard's doing. I'll check in and see how all these different guys. There's a lot of great talent. You know, playing in the NBA. So I'm a hoops junkie. I just love it. I love it. That's a good pastime for me. I love to play golf with my boys and my grandkids. I love to do construction projects. I've been doing that a long time. When I was in grad school, I got a job. I was working three jobs. We were newly married, a baby on the way, living in this house that we rented for $115 a month. And it was a crazy, crazy house. It was painted the color of an exit sign on the freeway. Wow. Bright green, man. Wow. We call it the Green Cave.
Wow.
So we're living there, and I was refereeing basketball. I was working at a grade school as a custodian.
Okay.
And then I was working full-time on a construction crew.
Wow.
And so on the construction crew, I asked so many questions. I drove them crazy. Why'd you do that? How'd you do this? You know, what do you do next?
You're
because
learning.
I knew I'm never going to make any money, you know, doing what I was going to do. So I better learn some skill. And so we'd buy an old house, and I'd fix it up. We'd sell it, make a little bit of money, and then buy another old house, and I'd fix it up and sell it. And so now to this point in our life, you know, our equity continued to grow because we kept on doing that.
Entrepreneurship.
And, I love doing that kind of stuff. I love helping out, doing that kind of stuff. And I love carpentry things. And
Yeah. That's
a good pastime for me, too. So
I love it. And you hit a point right now that I haven't even discussed because you tend to forget these things because of the life that the chapter that you're currently living in. I remember my dad and my mom used to tell me these things, or like sometimes they would just be sitting there and I'm eating and they're just sitting there just staring at me. And I'm just like, yeah, mom and dad. And now that I'm a father, now I know why they would stare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I know. So right. I kind of want to touch that basis with you. Obviously, you're not even high school sweethearts. You're junior high sweethearts.
Right.
And then family came. Mike, how many children do you
have? We got three kids. Man, they're all phenomenal people. And Derek is a really gifted. Derek's one of those guys who can do anything. I mean, he makes you sick. He's like a Renaissance guy. You know, he can write a love song. He can build a house. He can field dress a deer he shot with a crossbow. He can catch any kind of fish. I mean, he can do anything. He just do anything. He'd bake a cake. It doesn't matter. He just do it. He's that guy. And then Drew was a really good athlete. Still is, but just a great guy. Just working in the marketing world.
Okay.
Doing that. And then my daughter Jody, which you have met before, she comes to Eastside sometimes.
Yes, that's right.
Preach, and she's doing a phenomenal job up in Ventura, California with the church there with her husband Mike. And somebody told me one day, said, you know what, bro, what's cool? My name's Bro, by the way. So, you know what? So when I introduced myself as Bro one day, some kid, a mom came up to me and said, my son wanted to know, is your name Dude? No, it's Bro. So that's my last name, really. It's just Bro. So I just write it, use a BRO. So, They came to me and said, hey, bro, you know what's cool about you? All three of your kids got a piece of your passions.
I love it.
Except for Derek is a much better musician. Drew's a much better athlete. And Jody's a much better preacher. I go, you're right on all three, man. So, but man, it's cool when you get to the point in your life where your kids are your best friends.
Yeah.
And I love hanging out with my kids. Now we got 10 grandkids. Man, it's been a blast being a young granddad. Started having grandkids when I was 44 years old.
Wow.
And it has just been so much fun, man. So we got one right now who's getting ready to get married, and another one that just graduated from potty training.
Wow.
And everybody in between.
Wow.
So it's really a blast. Wow. We spent a lot of time with them, and, you know, that, to me, that's part of the legacy building, you know, just trying to pour into their lives. And
I love it.
It's cool texting with your grandkids and, you know, playing golf with your grandkids. Wow. And, you know, I got an 18-year-old who just texted me yesterday. Hey, Papa, got a tea time, 2:00. You going to meet me out there? You know?
Wow.
I love it.
I love it.
It's fun.
And thank you for sharing, Mike, because I'm telling you, it's a blessing for me, right? I'm telling you, a year ago, you would have talked to me. I'm in a dark place in my life. So just hearing you say these things, it's another thing that the Lord is using you right now to tug to my heart and says, there's always a future.
Yeah.
You know, one thing through my healing journey that God has been teaching me is that this too shall pass.
Yeah.
But God is teaching me this is in all aspects. So when you're in a high, this too shall pass. Right. When you're in a low, this too shall pass.
Right.
So one thing that God is really molding me within my heart, and I thank him so much, is he's really teaching me don't think too high and don't think too low. Yeah. Always be humble, because when you're up there, it's going to pass. Yeah. And when you're down here, it's also going to pass. What's like one of the strongest lessons that you have felt that has been your biggest, I don't want to say struggle, or maybe it has been your biggest struggle, following your flesh and following Jesus? Like, what has been one of your biggest, hardest lessons, this walk with Christ?
Yeah, you know, I was, this past year, I have, there's a sermon in the New Testament of the Bible that the greatest person who ever lived, Jesus, taught. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. It's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So this year, I've kind of just spent all my devotional time in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I've just read it over and over and over and over again. And it's been really great for me. But the beginning part of it is a little section commonly known as the Beatitudes. You may have seen that if you open a Bible, it says the Beatitudes. And it's just Jesus teaching out this countercultural way to find happiness. So he begins by saying, blessed are the spiritually busted. When you recognize you really need God. Then the next one is, blessed are those who mourn over the fact they just discovered they're spiritually busted. And the third one is, blessed are the meek, those who will surrender. And I'm going, man, that's just the key to life right there. There's an old adage from AA, and I've worked at Recovery Steps for a lot of years and taught people a lot and hang out with a lot of guys going through all that. But there's an old adage that says, I can't, he can. I think I'll let him. And for me, that's my daily kind of roll out of bed every day, go, God, I can't, you can. Today I'm going to let you. And do it the same thing the next day. And one of my daily prayers is, you know, God, again today, I'm going to resurrender my life to you. I want to listen well to your Holy Spirit today. Put somebody in my path that needs a touch from you and help me notice when you do. Wow. And so just living in the awareness of God's presence in your life, where you live with an attitude of, I can't, he can, I think I'll let him. So today I'm going to follow him just for this day. I'm going to be aware of this day. I'm going to be aware of his power in my life today. I'm going to be aware of the different things he asked me to do, the little things he asked me to do. Sometimes God calls you to do like big things. You got to be really courageous to do them. Most of the time, it's just little stuff. We've all heard God's voice go back in and kiss your wife goodbye. Go in the bathroom and clean out all that stubble out of the sink. Why are you leaving that? I mean, just little stuff like that. You know, or go talk to that guy. Give that guy $20 or you know, and that's, to me, as we say yes to him throughout the day in the little things, that he sometimes calls us to do some pretty big things with our life.
I love it.
But it's just being faithful every day and saying, I can't, you can, I'm going to let you again today.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And again, one, Mike, you're amazing just because you have the name Mike. A lot of Mikes in this world are just really great people. Michael Jordan, Mike. Yeah. I mean, guys, I'm just saying there's a lot of great Mikes out there. Yeah. But
we both have a mic that we're talking into.
Little did you know right now that you were saying my favorite Bible verse, and it's difficult because there's so many, right? Like there's so many, but growing since I received the Lord at 19, my favorite Bible verse, Matthew 5:4. And we didn't talk about this. Yeah. We didn't rehearse this. Right. So right now that you were saying Matthew 5:6, that you're just kind of, the Lord is just having you study these. Right now that you said that, I'm like, man, God, this is once again why I know I love you so much. Yeah. Because it's those details where God reminds me. And I don't know it that much. That I can't rehearse it that well in English. Yeah. I know it very well in Spanish because that's where I was saved. But I know it's pretty much blessed are those who cry because they will receive the Consolidator. And for me, that has been, and I'm like, when I was 19, I'm like, why? Like, why is this such a blessing? Yeah. Like out of all the Bible verses, like why not Philippians? Why not? I can do all things through Christ. Like, give me that. And through my walk, God has really taught me, because the heart that you have, you feel for those that go through things because you know what it's like when you've gone through it. So right now that you said that, I'm just like, okay, God.
God created a heart of empathy in you. Long time ago, man, it's good.
And I didn't know.
Right.
And before I used to be like, why am I so weak? Like, why do I cry so much? I'm not your typical guy. Like I felt like something's wrong with me, you know? And it's weird, through this divorce, I've been not only rediscovering myself, but God has really been telling me, no, own who I made you to be.
Well, you know, there's something too, Mike, that, you know, of course, I don't get to watch you every day, but I have seen you with your kids. And, man, I know you want to be a great dad. That's something that God's put in your heart. Yeah. And that you have a heart of compassion for your kids and a heart of empathy for your kids. And, man, that's a – you know, no matter how relationships go, sometimes relationships just don't work for various reasons. but you know that you can have an impact in these relationships with your kids. You know, my verse that God gave me years ago, in fact, I have one tattoo. It's on the back of my calf. And I got one because I couldn't do another one. That hurt so bad. I cried the entire time I was getting it, you know. But I got Micah 6:8. It's on the back of my calf. And it just says, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. Mm. And so people will see that and go, what is that? And I'll tell them, well, it's a little three-step program I'm in. I'm just trying to keep it that simple. Again today,
I
want to act justly. I want to do the right thing. I want to love mercy. I want to love giving away what I've received from Him. And I just want to walk humbly with God. We'll keep it that simple.
I love it.
It's been a good reminder to me. But that's my verse.
I love it. I love it. Mike, I mean, I don't know. Just honestly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I'm very humbled just in the sense of, like, again, I don't idolize any man. But I know that when you're preaching, and I know that when I saw you, when I was younger, you don't really see the work people put behind stage. You just see the outcome and you just think, like, I want that, right? A lot of us do. But when you do see the background, when you do see the hard work, the dedication, the studying, the commitment to it, but not just in careers, when we're talking about spiritual life, now your actions need to be matching your words as well, because we're in a higher standard and right. We don't have it all together. I'm glad that you mentioned earlier, right. Like, guys, we're broken, you know, but nevertheless, we continue. Because one thing that I've gotten questioned from people is, like, as Christian, you guys just think you guys have it all together and it's all, you know, like, you guys show, like, perfection. And it's like, no. What advice can you give to a person that is either struggling with their spiritual walk or feels that tug of, like, I feel like they just think they're perfect. Like, what advice can you talk to these people that know they have an urge that God is tugging?
Yeah, a couple of things for me. Some and people have probably said this to you before too, Mike. Say, well, I just think that, like, Christianity is like a crutch for weak people.
Mm-hmm.
I go, no, it's like a gurney. It's a wheelchair, man. It's like a hearse.
Because
Christianity doesn't say you got a little limp, you need some help. It says, no, man, you're dead.
Yeah.
And you need to be brought back to new life.
Never heard of it.
And
like
so when I realized that, it's like, you know what? That's what it says. Happy are you when you recognize you're spiritually busted, that you desperately need God in your life. And so just living in that awareness that you really need God in your life, because God put that in, I don't care who you are, whether you really believe in God or not, God put that hunger in you. He created all of us. And He made us to be empty unless we're filled up with anything but Him. There's always going to be this hole, a God-shaped hole in our heart. And so for me, I started pursuing Jesus. I just started reading everything I get my hands on. I read, that's why I still today, I've been doing this forever. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But I started in the Gospel of John, and I just started reading about Jesus. Because, and I know you know this, but Jesus didn't come only to lay down His life so we could be forgiven and be free and go to heaven. That's huge. That's really huge. But He also came to show us what God is really like. So as you look at the life of Jesus and you start to see the things He said and the way He encountered people and the kindness and compassion and the strength and the courage and the truth and just the way He lived His life, it reveals an accurate picture of God. Because I thought for a long time God was just, He was just ticked at me. I thought He was just waiting to drop the hammer on me. I started looking at Jesus going, oh, so that's what God's like. He's kind. He's full of mercy. He's humble. He wants me. He comes looking for me like the one lost sheep out of all. He just comes pursuing me.
Yeah.
And that's when the lights started to come on for me. Like, no, I want to know that God.
Amen.
So I would encourage anybody, man, just grab a Bible, download YouVersion or something on your phone.
Yeah.
Start reading the Gospel of John and just looking at Jesus, and you'll get an accurate picture of what God is really like. And
Amen.
The cool thing about the Gospel of John, when he gets to the end, he goes, I could have written down a whole bunch more, but I didn't have room. I mean, all the libraries in the world couldn't contain all the amazing things I saw Jesus do.
Yeah.
But I wrote these down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that you might believe, and by believing in him, you'd have life in his name.
Yeah.
So I would encourage everybody to do that.
Yeah. And I will add to that as far as, you know, downloading the Bible app or purchasing the Bible, yeah. getting into John, because it's best for you to do your own investigation. Yep. Don't just listen to what people say or people do. You know, I heard this story once, this mom was teaching her daughter how to cook a meatloaf. And as she was preparing the meatloaf, she would cut one side of the meatloaf and the other side of the meatloaf and then just throw those pieces out and then put them in the oven. So the little daughter was like, "Mom, why do you cut those pieces of the meatloaf off?" And then the mom says, "I don't know, honey, just something grandma taught me." So then the little girl goes to grandma and goes, "Grandma, you know, why does mom cut the side and you cut the side of the meatloaf off?" And then the grandma goes, "Well, I'm not sure. It's just something my mom taught me. So go talk to your great grandma." And in this case, great grandma was alive. She goes and she's like, "You know, why do you cut the sides of the meatloaf off?" And the grandma goes, "Oh, honey, back then in my days, my oven was this big. So I needed to cut these pieces off the right. meatloaf to get it in to fit right. into the oven." Right. And those are the things where God has taught me, like, look, it. We could follow tradition, or we can start asking just questions.
Right.
It doesn't mean you're disrespectful.
No.
You're just asking
questions. Man, God says, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me.
Yes.
He says, come on, just dig. Amen. Ask me questions.
Amen.
Brutally honest questions.
Amen.
Yell at me if you need to. Get angry with me if you need to, because if you do that, it's going to open up your heart, and I'm going to reveal who I am. And, man, that's a... I just wish more people would get to know him.
Amen.
That's why I do this with my life, man. Yeah. I want people to know him and get on the path that leads to life.
Amen. Amen. Mike, thank you so much
for
joining. Thank you. Guys, if you guys have any questions, any comments for me, for Mike, like always, the comment section is there open. I'm more than happy to share, Mike, your resources as well as far as your Instagram page, so that if people want to go directly with you, they can feel free to reach out. You guys can reach out to me. But nevertheless, this place, the Mac Effect, I open it up because I want this to be a safe place for us. I shared with you guys, I get attacked. I get brutally attacked all the time. You're fake. You're this. We disregard those comments because there is times where I finally get that one male that reaches out. And he's like, "I never do this.
Yeah,
but I'm reaching out because I need your help." Yeah. That's why we're here for, guys, awesome. to create some type of change, but in a positive way. So, Mike,
thank you, man. Thanks,
thank
brother.
You so
yeah,
much.
I'm proud of you, dude.
I really appreciate it, guys. Tune in next week for another great episode. But in this case, Mac Effect out. Peace.
Buddy of mine was doing a podcast. They got like 400,000 subscribers.
Oh yeah!
And he, right in the middle of it, he was on vacation and is doing it in the hotel room up on like the 20th floor. And all of a sudden, there's a guy washing the windows, like rappelling down, you know, making noise. You can see the guy.
You see him in the background.
What are the chances of that?
Yeah.
But it made the podcast funny. Like, hey, say hello to our friend.
Our special guest.
Yeah, special guest today.
We just.